Let's move on to the next passage, which is Ephesians chapter 5, 8 through 14. It is a Revised Common Lectionary passage for the fourth Sunday of Easter prep and Lent on March the 19th. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what's pleasing to the Lord, and don't participate in unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain persons do in secret, but everything exposed to light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. Therefore, it says, "Wake up, sleeper. Get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Paul the Apostle seems to be making the case that our actions as children of light should align with the truth of our being, our ontology. What damage is being done when we don't live in congruence with goodness, justice, and faith? And how can someone more faithfully receive, embrace, walk, act as children of light?
Right. So, not living in congruence. I mean, if you just think of not living in congruence with your spouse or your kids or your parents, you're going your own way. And what comes from that is called conflict. And so to say that the nature of being congruent is that there is something of being aware of the person, the ways of being that would be aligned with that. And so that is the call of what happens when God comes to us in love, that he calls forth from us a love, which again, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithful, self-control. These are all ways of being that are congruent with the one who's given himself to us. Yes. So the very nature of what it means to be children of light is that when light comes into the world, the light comes into the darkness, as the Gospel of John begins. There is a congruence of the Son with the Father. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When we beheld his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that which we are being congruent with is the very nature and character of God, which has goodness and justice and truth. When God's light shines in us, we recognize we've been stumbling around in the dark. The reality's all there. You know, that's the thing about darkness and blindness, is the reality's all there. We just can't see it. Mm. I wrote a song once, "Waking up to reality, God loves me, not for what I do or say, but freely. And I stand as one transformed by love," that's his love, "living in the one who gives me hope." And so the recognition of the waking up is that once you see who this God is, you understand the love that has come to you, it transforms the nature of who you are in response to that. Having been loved, we love. We love because he first loved us. And so congruence is that coming into alignment with what it is that he's doing. So congruence is like to be integrated with God. It's to have our life woven together, interwoven in a life with him. The opposite of congruence then would just basically be living a lie. You have not been given a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Living in fear is what Adam and Eve had. And so to not be congruent with God is to live in fear. And what does perfect love do? It casts out fear. What does perfect fear do? It casts out love. And therefore, we become incongruent. We lie, we hide, we distance from God, we distance from one another. We cover up those things we don't want people to see. That's the shame coming in. And in covering up, then we have all of our favorite addictions, from drug and alcohol to religious addictions to workaholism, all the ways we cover up in our hiding and lying because we're not congruent with the love of God. And we work out of a system of fear that says, if I'm going to survive, I need to take care of myself. Nobody else is. And I need to make sure that I'm not going to be embarrassed or shamed in the world. And so that whole incongruence that comes from that is damaging at the deepest level. And so basically say the Christian life is not a call to being good or measuring up to standards and ideals. It is a call to honesty. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so to say to people, you know, being honest is really the place to begin here. That is the life of congruence. You know, homo legumina, which is the word confession there, homo, same, legumina, word, to say the same thing as God. God, you know, I'm struggling here. You know what? You're struggling here. Good. Thanks for being honest. Let's talk about this. In counseling, I often say, if you're angry, to just say, I'm angry is actually the best thing you can do, because then you can talk about what you're angry about. If you just act angry, then that anger is going to come out in tones of voice and actions that are damaging. So to just be honest and say, I'm really angry here. Can we talk about this? It's beginning in a place of getting congruent. And so the Christian invitation is not to say, how can I live better? How can I be more loving? It's to so know the love of the one who's come to us that our life has that light shine in us, and we can be honest about what's there. And in just seeing it and accepting that's who we are and that we are loved, the transformation happens. The Spirit who's poured out does the work as God's goodness and God's justice become our way of being, because we know that we have been loved, that we have been treated with kindness by this God, allows us then to treat others with the same thing. And the third word of the three you threw out there, truth, the idea of truth comes from the idea of troth, which is to be bound to another person. So to be betrothed to a person, you can hear the troth in that. Mm-hmm. Truth is a way of being in relationship. So whenever we're out of congruence with God, we're out of relationship. Guess what? Our way of being true to ourselves and true to others in relationship crumbles. And so the invitation in knowing the light of God's love and Christ's light in our life is we can see that he has bound himself to us, and it gives us the capacity, having been loved and accepted, to not need to hide or perform or those other things, which releases us into the freedom of a life of love.
In his book, Mediation of Christ, T.F. Torrance wrote, God loves you so utterly and completely that he has given himself for you in Jesus Christ as his beloved son, and has thereby pledged his very being as God for your salvation. Mm. And in light of that astounding love that is unconditional, it does allow us to be honest. And as you were saying, even in counseling, just being able to name it is a huge step in our subjective experience of healing. Mm. And thanks be to God that his faithfulness doesn't wane, wax and wane based on, you know, our moment of what we're feeling then. But in light of that, we can wake up by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's so good. In verse 14, Paul makes the statement that everything revealed by light is light. What does that mean? Help us understand.
Right. Well, again, T.F. Torrance, who you just mentioned, talks about light as the constant of the universe, and that the very nature of using that imagery of Jesus being the light of the world, there is something about the light that comes from the Father, who is the Father of lights. And so to say, you know, this God is the constant of the universe, who gives being and order and meaning and purpose to the world as the creator. And when Jesus comes into the world, which has become dark, meaning missing an awareness of who this God is, Jesus is the light who allows us to see that which is real. And so if somebody is in the darkness, you don't really have a sense that they are there or what your relationship is to them. And so fear is a natural thing. When you're walking down a dark street at night and somebody's coming, something in you goes, mm-hmm. So the nature of the light that the Spirit brings is that there is this sense of seeing the other. And if we see them through the eyes of Christ, if our sense is, I'm on this street at night because I'm looking for people who are in need of love and care, I'm not going to be afraid. I am going to be somebody who is about being the presence of love on this dark street. And yeah, maybe I'll bring a flashlight. But to say that just like the moon has no light of its own, when light shines on it, it creates light that lights up the night. And I love those nights with a full moon, and you can see things in their own unique kind of way. And so the moon is also given as a gift to the earth. The sun rules the day and the moon rules the night. And ruling there doesn't mean dominating over. It's a provision. If you look at the providence of God, you know, God provides that which is necessary to operate in all the spheres of life. And so the light of Christ, as C.S. Lewis said, I believe in the sun not only because I believe it, I believe in the sun only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. And so the nature of this light that reveals us and those around us, the light of Christ enables us to see the meaning and purpose for which things are created, including broken things, and to not just say throw it away, but what does redeeming, healing, making well of this look like? And so light is being revealed in us. We are being seen for who we are. Those people around us who are easily written off, which my wife always says when she sees people on the streets of Seattle, I just think, you know, that's somebody's child. Yes. That person who's sitting there begging, that's somebody's child. And if we can see through those eyes, the light of that to know that they have been beloved by someone, created by someone, gives us eyes to see the light of knowing that even this person who our eyes could look at and judge and write off can also be looked at with the eyes of love. And suddenly our eyes become redeeming and healing and wishing for the best for them and asking, you know, what can we do out of love for them? So the nature of light also, T.F. Torrance says, you know, in the spring, the light comes and warms the ground, and that very thing that God created is brought to come out and be what it was made to be. The plants grow, the birds come out and do what they do, and all of those things. And so to say the light of God's shining in creation is the same as the work of the Spirit that brings us into the being that we're made for, and all the fruit of the Spirit flows in us as light warms our hearts and creates in us that which only God can create, a fruit that lives in congruence and extends his life in the world around us.
I appreciate the way that your wife thinks about others, you know, even those who are down and out. And it reminded me of C.S. Lewis, his amazing sermon, The Weight of Glory. And he talked about how there are no ordinary people. You know, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses other than the Blessed Sacrament itself. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing, a way of seeing the world, you know, as best we can by the Spirit, the lens of Jesus Christ for those that belong to him.